Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's 5 Asian guys together.
Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Today is Saturday, January 16th, coming at you live from Brooklyn, New York. If you're listening to this on your phones right now, please take a screenshot, post it on your stories, and tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod. That's how we get new fans. And if you're an iTunes listener, please, if you're an iTunes listener, please leave a review. 5-star review, I tell ya. I don't want to see anything else, okay? That's disrespectful. And if you want to see more content from me and Mike, like aka nudes, go to our Patreon. Nudes. Go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod for nudes and bonus episodes, but mainly for the nudes. And we got merch now. So if you want an asian.asian hoodie, please go to asian.asianpod.com/merch and get that hoodie. It's a good time.
Get that hoodie, baby. I'm wearing mine. You know?
Yeah. How you been, man? You good? You good? Your background is of the Bay Area. What's happening? Do you miss?
No, I don't. I do miss it, and I'm actually looking forward to this apocalypse because I hear that everybody's moving out of the Bay Area, which is awesome.
Wait, why?
Okay, it's expensive. Because you know, because now all the startup people are like, oh, I don't have to live in San Francisco, and I can read
about this. They're moving to like Austin or whatever, right? They're moving to Texas.
Which,
they're moving to,
you know, rest in peace, Austin. But you know, like it's just you know, it's. You know, I miss the Bay. I mean, I miss the Bay, but mainly it's because I used to have that other background, the one with the computer on there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever left up a background from a comedy show or something, and then you jump onto a work meeting, and I was on there, and I just had to play it off. I was like, yeah, I'm really into computers.
And blue lights.
And blue lights. Asian guys love blue lights. I don't know if you know. That's a cultural thing. Don't make fun of my culture. No, but everything's chill, man. How about you, dude? Yeah. How's it going? You have like a kind of a, speaking of Zoom craziness and Zoom
craziness.
Shows.
Yes.
We had a really fun Zoom show, FYI, just a little quick aside. Please check out Hack City, which is our Zoom show. We have them every other Friday, so happens all the time. Check out the Instagram for tickets to that. It's free. But Fumi, you had some weird shit happen.
I had some weird shit happen. And I'm going to start
on
here.
One of your Zoom comedy shows.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to start here, okay? This is all, so I read this article recently on New York Times. It was titled, True Stories of Hooking Up During COVID-19. And I actually thought it was a pretty raunchy piece to put on New York Times because, bro, they were getting some details. And you know, I know that people are trying to date in quarantine and trying to be safe like that. But my main takeaway is two things. One, apparently people are being more honest and transparent, like in hookup culture about like, and again, this is New York. I'm not talking about like Arizona, okay? In Arizona, things are still the same, okay? They don't give a fuck. They don't believe in COVID, so this is this doesn't count. But like, you know, people are being more transparent about like sending each other like pictures of their COVID negative results and stuff before they hook up. You know, even also like STDs. You know, a couple weeks ago we had on Hannah Dickinson. You know, she got fucking herpes during quarantine. You know, and I feel COVID has opened up the door for people to be like, you know, like Biggie Smalls always had that song. It's like, hey girl, what's your name? What's your sign? Like now it's like, what's your name? What's your sign? Do you have herpes? Do you have COVID? You know, and like, that's totally. I think it's really great that that's happening. But then where this article got naughty is they had this like last paragraph. It was called like, "There's always sexting and quote and parentheses other stuff." And it told a story about this guy who, because he was afraid of getting COVID and stuff. What he did is he went on a date with this girl into a park, and this is where it gets all like Japanese porny, okay? It says one of the women, Cooper, of course his name is fucking Cooper, one of the women Cooper matched with on Tinder suggested meeting in a park and using a remote controlled vibrator while they were seated several feet apart on a bench.
That's real?
Later,
I thought that was just some Japanese technology.
I thought
that
was some Japanese shit too. And this is later, she drove him around while he masturbated. I guess like in the passenger seat or something.
Just so that he could jerk off. Did he have a thing about driving around and masturbating?
No, he just happened to be driving around. I think this is the thing. The quarantine is forcing people into these new fetishes and kinks because if you have to have sex but you can't touch each other, what are you gonna do? You're gonna refer to Japanese porn. Okay, they're advanced with this shit. I read this and it turned me on because I love shit like that. I love porn like that. You know, when you ever see porn like that, like a girl just like walk into the library. She doesn't walk like this, but she's got a vibrator and like another guy's controlling it. That's what this
I
was.
I've seen that.
That is kinky as shit.
What I think is funny too is because I read that he drove him around while he masturbated, because I'm just like, this is still New York, so it's like, hey, you know what? You can jerk off, but I've got errands to run, so you go ahead and do that. I gotta stop by. I gotta pick up some laundry. I gotta stop by Zabar's. Okay, there's a sale downtown, so you go ahead and you have fun.
Yo, can you imagine? She's like, hey, can you just hang out for a second? And she gets out of the car and she puts on the emergency light, and he's still jerking off. And then like a cop pulls her and be like, hey, you can't park here, sir.
Hey, take your filthy parking out of here, you
he's
bastard.
Like, not now. okay, but I bring all this up because I had something weird. Not weird. I don't want to kink shame anybody. Okay, it's not weird. I had something happen to me.
I can say it's weird. I don't mind. Yeah, go ahead.
I had something happen to me that was parentheses and other stuff. Okay, so like, hey, everybody knows I'm in an open relationship. I'm out there doing digital stuff. You know, not really. I'm not really doing anything. But sometimes I have jokes about it. And so I was doing a Zoom comedy show. It wasn't Hack City. And I don't want to give the details of this person because I have no idea if this person is listening to this podcast. And if she is, hi, how are you? it was like a random Zoom show I was doing. And I did a joke about being in an open relationship. And then I'm like, it's like a 10, 15 minute set. So I'm like minute three at this point. I'm literally doing stand-up comedy. I'm in the zone. Right. Then in the Zoom chat, you know how you can message
people?
Yeah,
you can chat. Yep.
This girl privately messaged me while I'm doing comedy, okay? And I'm kind of like, she starts off being like, hey, like, what does your shirt say or something? And I thought maybe I was like being heckled, like in Zoom, you know? And I was bullshit? So I'm like writing back to her. And then it turns out that she's trying to sext with me via Zoom while I'm doing comedy. And obviously like nothing happened because I was doing comedy, but like it was, I'm not gonna lie to you, it was kind of hot. It was kind of like, you know, the porn where like the female boss is on the phone and then like the guy's eating her out and she's like trying not to make a sound, like she's still doing business. It was like that but for Zoom comedy.
There's just so many types of porn that you've seen, Fumi, that like and one day I'm just gonna be like, I have no idea where you're talking. For a long time I had no idea about the stepsister stuck in the dryer thing. I kept seeing memes about it and stuff like that, and like you would do it or Peter Ravella would do it, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because if you haven't seen it, it just sounds absolutely insane. Oh, have you seen the thing where the girl's like stuck in the dryer?
I don't even
walker?
Believe you, because that's like homepage porn now. That's like everywhere. That's
No. Yeah, I got my deep links, okay? I don't go to the homepage. What am I, basic? What am I, going to the front page of Reddit? Come on. Hold on here, though. I have a question.
Yeah, I have an answer.
Did you not like, you know, follow up with her, I guess? Just be like, hey, why don't we do this later? Or is it just like right then and
I
know?
Like, I did say like, hey, I can't do this right now because I'm fucking performing. Like,
right.
I was like, maybe we could do this later. And she was like, haha, maybe. And then it just kind of fizzled out. And she also unfollowed me on Instagram. So
really,
you know, that's how bad my internet dick is.
Did you know this person like from fandom? No.
I've never seen this person. Yeah. But no, you know what's kind of kinky is like, as we're chatting, like I can see her in the Zoom reacting to what I'm saying.
Whoa. Just like in the porn.
It's kind of hot. I'm not going to lie to you. It was hot, dude.
Whoa. Dang. Man. And all this time I've been hating the interface for Zoom. Because,
I know. It made me want to invest in Zoom. I was like, okay, I see a new angle here.
Did you? Yeah. I would be afraid. I mean, shit, you could have almost had one of those moments like that guy from the magazine, that famous writer.
Oh, from the New Yorker who got like,
yeah,
he was like masturbating or something.
Yeah, dude, this is what happened to him, man. He was just trying to do his thing, you know, and then somebody slipped into his little DMs and he was just like, oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, he forgot.
Is that what happened? I actually don't know.
What happened, but I could see where this could have easily happened. And you know how on Zoom, I fucking hate the Zoom chat because you can hit like this button and then like you're like talking to this person, you know, whoever you want privately, but it's really easy to hit everyone.
I know.
In two seconds.
Yeah, no.
Just in 2 seconds.
Sometimes I notice that like it changes automatically for whatever reason.
Yes.
So like it's very, very possible that I'm just like, I'm saying some naughty shit and it just goes to everybody enjoying the Zoom show. So for sure. But you know what? I think that's part of the hotness is like, ooh, like I don't know what I'm going to slip up. So I better be careful. And everybody knows, if you've seen my Excel sheets, you know I'm organized as fuck. So you know I'm not making mistakes like that. You know I'm buttoned up when it comes to that kind of shit. So anyways, I just wanted to share that. And I want to talk to our guest about it today because, hey, she's a writer and I've read her articles and I know she's been out there dating in quarantine. Okay. Or maybe she's trying.
Hey.
I'm not really sure. We're going to get into it. And I'm also going to ask her if she's got into any Zoom funzy activities. Okay. So our guest today is a beauty writer. Okay, she contributes to many publications like GQ, Teen Vogue, Allure, and all kinds of stuff. And she's got this amazing podcast called Smell Ya Later, which is a podcast about scents and fragrances. So definitely check that out. So everybody, let's give it up for the amazing Sable Young.
Hey.
Woo! Hey.
Thanks for emphasizing the Young.
Yeah. Did I pronounce it right?
No, because when you say, and when I say it quickly, it's just like Young, and then everyone misspells it Y-O-U-N-G, and then I'm like, no, that's not it.
Oh, it's sorry to make you not feel special, but that's like a comedy thing. When comedians bring up people, we emphasize the last name. It doesn't matter
really?
What it is. Yeah. So I didn't do that like for people or whatever you think it is that I did.
Just in general.
But thank you so much for coming on the show. We're so excited to have you.
Yeah.
You're wearing a T-shirt that says Revenge. I'm here for it. How do you feel about the New York Times article and this little like weird Zoom thing that I went through? Can you relate?
I didn't read the New York Times article. That's not true. I do read the New York. I get sent their newsletter every morning and they're just like, here's how the world is ending today.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yep. I am subscribed from that email.
I need to. I really should.
Like, I do not need this energy first thing in the morning.
It's crazy because it's like all this bad things and at the end, they end with a recipe. They're like, want to make a key lime pie? Like Trump has been impeached for the 17th time. Let's make a key lime pie. I'm like, fuck it.
It stresses you out with all this news. And then it's like, here's a recipe and here's a like little word puzzle.
Yes, exactly. Hey, you like crosswords? And are you fucking serious?
Then I get really mad that I can't figure out the word. And I'm like, I'm stupid.
Yeah.
First of all, okay. Like, nothing against the New York Times. Very grateful for their coverage. But I feel like every time they do cultural, social coverage, it's like way off base. And it's always really out of touch.
Yeah.
And like specifically for beauty, anytime they report on beauty, it's like 2 years late.
Really?
I remember I was like quoted like one quote. I contributed one quote to an article about like people bleaching their hair platinum blonde is super popular now. This was like 2015. And that had been like a thing in beauty since like 2013. So I was like,
whoa.
Okay. I mean, like, maybe, you know, things take time to filter into mainstream, but I was still like, why is this a story? So like, okay, I didn't read the article, so they were just saying like people are getting down on Zoom, is that it?
Yeah, okay. I mean, people are just like doing, you know, people are like finding creative ways to in hookup
like,
culture and whatnot.
Also, like, I feel like people it's 2021. People were doing this in like March.
You're right. People have been masturbating in the passenger seat since like I saw that was like an episode of Louis.
Hey,
I think.
Oh,
I think
also
I
remember. No, wait. Hey, Fumi. When did Japanese porn start having that remote vibrator thing? That shit's from the 90s,
dude,
bro.
Dude, you are right. That is from the 90s. Yeah. Oh my
god.
So
old.
That's
New York
old
Times,
news, man.
Yeah, the Times. Like I don't know, and I don't know how long their edit process takes. Maybe it just kept getting pushed back. Like who knows? But like, I mean, that does happen because they're
so
like,
funny.
This isn't timely. Like this isn't breaking news. So we'll just keep pushing this culture piece back, and then it's like 9 months later, they're like, we're masturbating. P.S.
We
everyone's
have to.
dying and masturbating.
Yeah, we had to pass this through all of our you know, fact checkers and stuff like that. Are people masturbating?
Are people masturbating? Mm. We took a poll. It's on the daily.
Well, I mean, like in March, like I started writing like dating stuff for GQ, like at the end of 2019, and they were keen to like have me on a regular basis. And then obviously when the pandemic hit, like you can't tell people like here's how to date. Like you can't tell people
that. Yeah.
So like there was like a pretty long pause when I just couldn't think of any relative pitches to go with like pandemic dating, also because I was like, I don't think I should be telling people to go dating in pandemic.
Right.
So like, yeah, it's totally possible that the New York Times was like, hey, maybe we should not write about people masturbating amidst like mass death. Like, like maybe it's a sensitivity issue. And now they're like, release the masturbation article.
Yeah. I think now we're all back out there.
Oh, well, yeah.
People are out there.
Have you had any like weird, not weird, I don't want to say weird because I'm not kink shaming. Have you had any like interesting, creative, like, you know, dating experiences or hookup experiences or has someone suggested something?
Not that weird. Like I did like a FaceTime. It wasn't supposed to be phone sex. It ended up turning into phone sex. Mm. It was just like a conversation that ended up getting sexy. And then
I like the way that you say it, because it's like when you say it started off as a conversation, so you're like having a check-in or something.
No, well,
you're just like, hey, how's your third quarter doing? Oh yeah, you know?
Oh shit, he's inside me. Fuck.
Oh crap. And why are you talking about quarters now? I'm horny, you know? Like,
well, I mean, it's like it was somebody I had meshed with on a dating app, and then I generally, like, my thing with meeting people on dating apps in general, like even before the pandemic, was like, obviously, okay, everyone's gonna look a little bit different than what their photos look like. Obviously, like, you don't know how old they are. Yeah. Obviously, they're giving you their best angles, ideally. But truly, for me, like, the thing that throws me off is what someone's voice sounds like. Because, ooh, like, if your voice doesn't line up with, in my head, like, based on what you're writing me, if it sounds totally, right, it just throws me off, man. So I will always, like, okay, I love the excuse to be like, let's have a phone call before we meet up so no one has to waste anyone's time, because I will vibe check the shit out of that. As soon as you open your mouth, that, I'm like, it's enough. Yeah. It's a yes.
Why? Because I'm trying to imagine somebody, like, you know, texting you something real romantic or sexy or something like that, and then like you talk to them and it's like, hey, yeah, you like that?
That has
you
happened. Know,
is that happening?
That has happened, really? Like, a couple times.
Hi, yeah, there.
Where someone had like a really like weird,
I want you to hit me. Hit me hard, you know, like,
not even sexting, just like a normal, like, you know, whatever, buddy, courtship conversation. And then I'm like, oh, that's not, nope, it's not what I thought. It's not what I want to listen to.
Listeners, if you don't know who Stable is, she's got this amazing podcast called Smell You Later, and we've been doing some research on you, and one of the ways you start your podcast is you always ask how do you smell today. Yeah. Is how you,
your co-host,
usually,
you got a co-host
and you ask, yes, each other how you smell today, and we wanted to do a little bit of that on the Asian Show if that was okay with you.
And usually, you know, and it always blows my mind. I've listened to several of your episodes, and you guys will have like some crazy fire, like, you know, scent, but then you guys get in such detail about it. It's like, oh, it smells like, you know, artificial strawberry, but then also like, you know, whatever, like a burning pine leaf. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because for me, I only know, does it smell like Axe body spray or does it not smell like Axe body spray? And those are the only things for me.
That's, but you guys get into this whole thing. That could be a reference for sure.
But it's cool. And like, I think it's a cool thing, and it's a cool thing you do. So we wanted to try doing that. I don't know who wants to start. Do you want to start, Fumi?
I absolutely do not want to start. Why don't you go first, Mike?
Okay, I smell like, and I know this because I just put it on before I got on this Zoom thing, Speed Stick, okay? Mm. Mountain Fresh, I think that's what it's called. Speed Stick, or it's like something fresh. That's what I smell like, plus whatever I usually smell like, which is pretty bad. I'm not a good smelling dude. I'm wearing, you know, this hoodie. I got no shirt on underneath because I was taking a nap before this, and I just threw this on. So I'm going to say I smell, you know, kind of like, what I would say is like a Mongolian eraser. How about that?
Wait,
I smell like an eraser.
Very specific.
Like eraser. A Mongolian,
like a pencil eraser.
Yes, but you fell into a stream. I don't know. You know, that's what I think I'm gonna stop there because I'm clearly an amateur.
Do you feel that you smell bad? Or are you just being funny? Because I don't.
No.
I have a very sensitive nose. I'm very cocky about it, and I don't think you've ever smelled bad. You always smell wet to me. But it doesn't smell bad, like just like a
wet
like a puddle that I would just walk over on my commute to work is kind of your brand for me.
Like human.
What a devastating insult. That's like the insult that like a musketeer would say to somebody they're getting into a duel with, you know. It's like, sir, you are a puddle of which I walk over on my way to the sunset, you know, like you wet puddle, you know? Death to you.
But it doesn't smell bad. Oh. It doesn't smell bad.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to how I think I smell, but
yeah.
Sable,
how do you
what
smell?
What do you smell like today?
This morning, pretty much like doused myself in a fragrance I was sent yesterday by this brand called Ex Nihilo.
And damn, flex.
The fragrance is called Honoré Delights. It's very French. They're very French. I mean, a lot of fragrance brands are French, but they said it's supposed to smell like a Parisian bakery, but it just doesn't. Which is weird. I'm like, I've been to a Parisian bakery, my dude, and this does not smell like a croissant. I mean, it smells amazing. but I wouldn't eat it. It just smells like a fancy French lady, which is great too.
Oh, okay. What is the name of it again?
Honoré Delights.
See, Honoré Delights is the name of the musketeer that just insulted me.
That kind of
Monsieur, my name is Honoré Delights. You smell like a wet puddle.
Honoré Delights kind of sounds like a drag name or like
a play. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I like the name.
Yeah.
I dig the name.
Yeah.
That's a sweet one.
Those two words, Parisian bakery, that's how you like really entice an Asian person, because we love Parisian bakery.
Yes.
You know, like you know,
Paris
you
baguette,
go out there,
we love that.
Yeah,
I was just at Paris baguette.
Korean
I was just there the other day.
Straight up, they'll just name it
Paris stuff,
Paris bakery, but it's like Korean.
Dude,
like, I
don't know what it is.
Not
but
France.
Like, I mean,
Paris. They specifically love Paris.
Yeah,
and I don't get
Paris.
It.
Paris is
French stuff.
Yeah, I mean Vietnamese people also. You
well,
know,
they
love
were colonized
fucking,
by the French, so
we were colonized. Shouts. We love Parisian shit. We love carbs. Carbs. We love I think we mentioned this in another episode somewhere, but we're just enamored with cheese, you know? Like, hey, how did you do that? We can't even process that. So like that's pretty cool. You know? So I do like that. I will also say before we move on to Fumi that I usually like how I smell because we have Hawthorne. Hey, this whole thing was an ad this whole time. Hawthorne.co.
Check it out. Link in bio.
I love Hawthorne.
Link in bio.
We interviewed
I actually
them on
do
the
like
podcast.
It too.
They're such sweet dudes.
Really?
Yeah.
They're actual people? I thought it was just an algorithm.
It's two Asian dudes. They're really nice.
They're Asian?
Yeah.
We knew that. We had. Yes. Oh, wait, you were on the call. We had a kickoff call with them. Yeah. That's why they chose us to be sponsors, Mike.
I had no idea. I literally thought, it was like, you know, probably some guy named Bradley and, you know.
Yeah.
And whatever,
Wong,
and an algorithm.
Brian Jong.
Okay.
Their names rhyme. I love that their names rhyme.
We are sponsored by them, but I legit do really like their products.
They are good,
because and I'm very smelly. So, and then how about you, Fumi? How do you smell today?
You know, I have a very complicated relationship with this question because I feel that I don't have a smell and I don't do deodorant, which I'll get into later.
Wow.
And I've never used cologne. I've never used cologne
ever?
In my entire life.
Ever?
No. Sometimes people think I smell.
Do you not like
nice
cologne,
because
or you just haven't found one you like yet?
You know, I don't. Maybe I'll ask you guys this. I'll be honest. I don't know how you get into cologne. Like, for example, I think you get into video games because your older brother introduces it to you. I think you get into.
Yeah.
You know, reading because you read a cool book in school and you're like, I want to see more. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there are a lot of ways to get into things in life.
Yeah.
Cologne, like, who shows you? You know, like,
you just smell a lot of stuff.
That's a great question.
You know, but I also never, you know, Maria is into that shit and I actually don't like it when she has long perfume. I'm very sensitive. I don't know. I feel like it smells like skunk a lot of the times to me. You know?
Might just have a really sensitive nose.
Yeah, but she always gets mad because she says, oh, my friends love the smell. I'm like, well, I fucking hate it and I live with you. So why don't you, you know, I feel like my response has more weight. But yeah, I don't think I smell. Let me check real quick.
Is she like, know. Is she like, close the relationship and then we can talk about scent? Then I'll stop wearing perfume.
This is not for you. This is for the other boys. I know. And I wanted to ask you about that is because, you know, I often, because I don't wear deodorant, which I feel is, I thought that was a pretty common thing among Asian men, but as I meet friends in America, like, I'm just like, oh, maybe this is just like my family kind of thing, but like,
that's fine.
I've never worn deodorant. My dad's never worn deodorant. I don't.
I think it is a pretty common thing, but not, I don't think it's like universal.
I'll just say this. I've never seen because I lived in Japan for a little bit. I've never seen a deodorant commercial in Japan.
I think deodorant is a very American concept. Because Americans are obsessed with everything smelling clean and fresh.
Mm.
And like having this like sanitized scent, you know, like almost like it's not even like a lack of odor. It's like a specific sanitized odor that everybody wants.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know you're not like a smell scholar, but like, do you have any?
Well, just like, like culturally speaking. Like our obsession with bathing, with showering, with like the amount of products we have in our bath, and like,
oh my god,
other countries, like even European countries and Asian countries, like we don't bathe as often. Also because you're not really supposed to. You're the microbiome on your skin like is a protective layer of bacteria.
Yes.
So like if you just keep throwing detergent at it, it kind of like, you know, washes away your protective layer, which you know, in the past, like lots of countries, you know, who actually have like a longer past than what, since 1776 or was it 74?
Right.
When was America founded? I don't know. But like America's 76. Kind of a new country. So like we don't have like the cultural past of being like, P.S. like you want this little grime layer to protect you.
Yo, dang, hold on. Hey, you hear that, Gina? I don't have to shower all the time. Okay, cool. She was just there. So I feel that. And I feel, you know, I mean, I can definitely understand because, you know, I mean, fucking Irish Spring commercials were on all the time and shit like that. I got introduced to cologne as an Asian person because in the 90s, the cologne to have as an Asian dude was CK1.
Ooh,
what
yeah.
is that? Was like the one that was it's a cologne, it's a scent,
yeah,
and okay. like okay. it's a bunch of things. It's like a soap and all that shit too. I don't even know if it's popular. Is this popular?
Yeah, CK1's
yeah?
a classic.
Okay, yes.
Does that stand for
yes.
Calvin Klein or something?
Yeah. It was one of their earlier fragrances, and it was unisex. So like at the time, yes. like that was very like innovative yes. and like new. Yeah.
Yes, because men and women, all the Asian G-sters and G-ster girls,
yeah,
you know, before there was you know, Asian boss ladies, there was like Asian, you know, heavy eyeliner ladies, and we everybody wore CK1, and there was memes before memes about, oh, it was really expensive relatively speaking to a high schooler's income, mm-hmm. which is zero,
yeah,
and so everybody, one person would wear a lot of it, and everyone would just stand near that person.
In the cloud.
The cloud of CK1.
Let me give you a hug, buddy.
Let me get in that cloud.
Yeah, exactly. Let me rub on you. So that was the one. I remember later on, as I got a little bit more money, I'm talking about just like in college, I had my favorite one was Nautica. I don't know what there's a name for it.
It was like a green bottle. Or was it a blue?
Yes.
Yes. It was like a dark
yes,
green
Yes, it's
bottle.
A green bottle mm-hmm. with a little sailboat yep. on there. And let me tell you this. I, like last month, found that I still had a little bit left in the green bottle that I had. This is not from college. This is like a bottle I had from like my mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled it out and I was like, I wonder if this still smells good. Does not smell good. It has become some sort of weird thing. But I sprayed it on myself and I was like, let's see how this is. This is going to be tight. You know?
Did it like bring you back to that era when you wore it?
It did.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I put it on and I was like, you know, because it gets into your yeah. fucking Ratatouille mind. And it kind of brought me back, and I kind of want to go and get CK1 and all that stuff. The other fragrance I like, I don't know which one it is, but it's one of the Comme des Garçons ones.
Oh, their scents are so good.
There's like four or five of them that I really enjoy, and like they it smells like it in the store. So when you go in there, I'm like, oh yeah,
dude. I didn't the day I just dis- I'm so I'm okay. So Sable, if you don't know, I'm very not cool and I don't know what is happening all the time.
I never know. I'm very late to everything.
I didn't even know cologne. I didn't even know like cologne and perfumes and shit like was that popular until one of my a rap artist I was really into in like 2015 released Eminem. A song called Lotus Flower Bomb, and I was like, what is Lotus Flower Bomb? It sounds tight, like that's like a cool like name. And then I googled it, it's like a perfume or something like that, right? It's like a cologne, I believe. It's like a Tom Ford scent. Lotus Flower Bomb.
There's Flower Bomb. I don't know about, I haven't heard of Lotus Flower Bomb.
You know what? I might be adding Lotus on for, because I just played Street Fighter or
fair
something.
Enough.
I think the song is just Flower Bomb.
Okay,
I
yeah.
think
it's there's what, a Richter, yeah. Victor and Rolf perfume that's pretty popular called Flower Bomb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, I didn't even fucking know. But you know, I think this is me not being into scents or like perfume or colognes and stuff. I think it has a direct correlation to me not... getting a lot of attention from women when I was younger, because no. I was hanging out with my friend the other day because I don't smell like anything, and I don't know, you know,
you really
I,
don't
I would love to hear your take
everyone
on this.
Everyone has like a scent whether you like wear shit or not,
for sure,
like you have a
I
scent.
Have like a natural yeah. human scent, but I think it's like weak. My brand is weak, you see. And yeah.
My brand is very wet.
Yeah, if Mike is a puddle on the street,
I am a puddle on the
street. I'm like
you're just humidity.
I'm like that. You know, sometimes you're in the office and like you're in a conference room and the door to the conference room is slightly ajar and there's like a little bit of AC coming through. That's me.
Oh
like,
shit!
It doesn't. It's just like, what is that? Whatever.
Nuance.
You know,
it's nuance.
You're a slightly open conference room. You know. You're the sound of the dial-in.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Sable, is that true? Like, because I was with my friend the other day and she just, you know, came out of a long relationship and she was like practicing celibacy for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And because she was doing that, she said a man walked past her on the street and she smelled his cologne just by accident and she got really turned on. And I was like, oh, is that like a,
that's a thing.
You know, is that a thing?
Totally. Like,
Can you talk more about that?
You can
I need to know
absolutely
more about this.
Be attracted to somebody's scent. I mean, like, biologically speaking, the scent is how you find a mate. Like, for the purpose of, like, reproduction, like, absolutely. And in a weird way, you're not, like... Like, yes, you are seeking out smells that you like and enjoy and think are attractive, but, like, on a biological level, you're actually smelling people whose genes are different than yours.
Whoa.
And this is mostly for women because women, you know, kind of bear the entire brunt of like reproducing. Like men just
shout
like
yeah,
nut
yeah,
and then they're like, bye.
We're chilling.
We nut and we say bye.
I mean, yeah, from a reproductionary angle, it's just like 100%. Men, they're just like nut and then they're like, okay, next one. And like women have to dedicate nut. Like pretty much 2 years.
That's how yeah. Sable sees guys. Nut.
Nut. Nut.
Well, like on your episode where you're talking about how a guy, like you can't trust a guy until after he nuts.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, 100%. You know what? I see that.
Cannot. That's all we do. Yeah. We're just drones.
Yeah. You nut and then that's when you have to ask the hard questions. You're like, listen.
Exactly.
I need some clarity on an issue. Yeah.
Who are we?
Now that you've nutted.
Yeah. He's weak. Yeah. He's weak. Get him now. Yeah. He's got
what
the kryptonite.
What is your social security number?
You know, you have a very good sense of smell. And actually, in your last, I think it was in your last episode, you were talking about how, you know, there was something out. And they do this, they used to do this a lot more. I feel that they kind of stopped. But they do a thing about how, what's the smelliest block in New York City?
Ooh.
Right? Like, what's a very smelly block? And I mean, all blocks are smelly in New York. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
That's, mm-hmm. Well, you don't mm-hmm. move here because mm-hmm. it smells like a Best Buy. You know, so it
Best Buy.
You want it to be... it
smells like batteries.
What happened to you? What happened to you at a Best Buy?
It's a very mild smell, yeah. Okay? Like a conference room. Yeah. So it's very... and you guys were talking about it. And I remember a while ago, this is a couple of years ago, that they said this one block in Chinatown smelled and then like people kind of got up in arms about it a little bit. Because they're like,
racial.
Oh, why you gotta?
It's a little racial.
You gotta come yeah. at the at Chinese and Asian people. Hey, and I'm not saying it smells wonderful in every block of Chinatown or in K-Town or whatever. But I mean, shit, like there's an open sewer outside of my apartment. Okay, and I promise you, it does not smell like whatever flower bomb. Okay, it is not it is another kind of bomb. Okay, ass bomb. That's what it smells like. So I don't know. You know, like we wanted to talk a little bit about what are some Asian-y smells. Are there smells that you think of as being like, this is very Asian? Like Fumi, you were talking about how there's a certain dish you eat that you can only eat when Maria's not around.
Yes. Well, I eat natto, which is fermented soybeans, which Mike hates. He said that on camera.
Yes. Yeah. Colonialism.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, Sable.
I am. Yes, I like
very,
it.
Very stinky, but I like it. I like it.
It's
like
just
it.
Like you have it with a little bit of rice. You can't just like
oh yeah
shovel that thing in like pure. You gotta
first.
Cut
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's a little intense, but like yeah. I also before I didn't like it till like middle school, but even before then, like I never minded the smell, but this smell apparently is like repulsive to my girlfriend who is not Asian. And so I eat it typically when she's shopping or like grocery shopping or something. And then when she comes back, she goes, it's kind of like,
she can
you know,
smell
when, like,
the aftermath.
Yeah. She like, it's, yeah, it's, yeah, yeah. She talks about it like as if I cheated on her. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, I smell that on you. It's like,
was Nato here?
You were doing it again, weren't
like,
you?
Part yeah. of me, a big part of me is just like, look, if you're going to date someone who's of a different race with a strong sense of culture and cuisine yeah. in that culture, you gotta yep. fucking suck it up. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, really I don't really eat a lot of, I do feel that a lot of Japanese food is pretty neutral smelling. Mm. I feel, except natto. Natto's probably one of the only things that's like, I could see why yeah. somebody wouldn't be, you know, wouldn't like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, what are some smells for you that like, when you smell something you associate it with like, you know, your family or, you know, smells that you find are homey to you, but maybe your other friends are like, I'm not into that.
Mm. I mean, Korean food, I'm half Korean, and Korean yep. food to me is always just like so comforting, the smell of it.
Mm-hmm,
And like, even then, like people say like, it's not a quote unquote good smell, but to me it just smells like home and it smells like family.
Mm-hmm.
Also mothballs, I guess, because my grandma's house always smells.
Oh
mothballs.
Yes.
A mothball? Yeah.
Yes. I am the same. Yeah. Yes.
She had like
mothballs.
She has like a bajillion fur coats. She's a very glamorous yeah, woman, my grandmother. Yeah.
I remember yeah. I would go to like different Vietnamese, you know, family gathering house parties, and mm-hmm. Usually it's at like the older person's house, right? And you yep. know they got a bunch of grandparents and shit in there, and it always smells like mothballs. And now I always think when I go to, let's say I go to like a vintage, you know, yeah. clothing store, and it smells like, man, I'm like, uh-huh. oh shit,
smells
where's
like
where's Ong and Ba at? Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, oh, I gotta go and, you know, eat rice now because it's just what it smells like.
Yeah.
To me.
And then, like, on the other side, like, my paternal side is Chinese, and, like, the smell of Chinese food is, like, also super comforting, but obviously it's different than Korean cuisine, but I feel like the smell of Chinese food is so much more, like, sensorial. Like, it gets in your hair, and it, like, stays on your skin.
Yeah.
Like, in a nice way to me, because I'm like, I just had a delicious meal, and now I can smell it hours later.
The mothball thing reminded me of, do you guys know what tatami is?
The mat?
Mats?
Like
the mat. Yeah. Yeah. So like that's like most, so I like grew up in Japan. Most Japanese homes have tatamis wow. and it smells like this bamboo thing. And I never smell it in America because like nobody, yeah. the only people who have that in America are like white dudes with ponytails and katanas.
Oh my
so
God.
I'm not going to it. It's weird. Like no, those are the only people who have it in America. So I never
damn
smell it.
Kyle.
But like the very few times I get to smell that, like it smells so good to me. It's not a delicious smell, but like yeah. like the mothball, it just brings back so many memories instantly.
Japan has such great like home smells. Like yeah. Japanese
so? Like,
Japanese incense is my favorite, my absolute favorite.
But see,
favorite.
When I smell incense, I think of funerals and
right.
I think of
because
like
they just
a,
like pump that shit throughout the air. Like they
yeah,
like they
yeah,
like
yeah,
wear
yeah.
like a lot at funerals. I get
they're super
you know,
into
I get it.
It,
but like. Like when I go
I
to,
he fucking died.
Yeah, they're like, we have to light it because it's more respect the more things are on fire.
Yeah.
Like even like going to like the Muji store and they have like all the little baby
oh, yeah.
I love that shit.
Yeah, Muji store is yeah. lit. It doesn't smell like a funeral, but it's lit. it's inspired by the funeral. You
yeah,
know what I'm
yeah, inspired
it's
by the
like,
funeral.
So,
funeral.
I walk
vibes.
In. And it's got funeral vibes for sure.
Somebody, the guy who started Muji, is just like, oh man, I miss my grandma so much. Yeah. But you know what? I got a good idea for a store. Yeah. You know, like, hold on a second. What if everything didn't have any logos on it and smelled like a funeral?
Love it.
Did you know that almost 40% of the United States is people of color, but medical research is 80 to 90% white?
That's crazy. Are you telling me that every time I read side effects on a bottle of pills or something like that, that is based on research only for white people, and they're not really thinking about my petite Japanese body?
That's right. They're not thinking about your tiny, tiny Japanese body, okay? This
hey.
Has serious consequences. In drug trials conducted primarily in the United States, Asians account for less than 2% of participants, but account for 6% of the U.S. population.
Listen, I'm not a scientist, but I know white people and Asian people, we have different bodies. For example, we got different earwax, and I know that makes a difference in my medication.
The All of Us Research Program is the largest and most diverse health resource ever, and is representing all of those groups who have been left out of research in the past. People of color, seniors, rural areas, low income, LGBTQ, etc. It's up to you how much and what you want to share, and all of the info is secure, and your identifiable info is removed, so it's anonymous.
And why should you trust them? It's managed by the National Institute of Health, NIH, one of the world's foremost medical research centers.
Why should you sign up? Well, for the greater good, to represent unrepresented groups, contribute to health research that could help the community, your family, maybe even you.
And you also get a $25 gift card.
And they're providing 10,000 free Fitbits starting early next year to bring people into research to help close gaps in representation. You can sign up and do everything safely from the comfort of your own home. Participation is power. Join to make a difference at joinallofus.org/AsianNotAsian. And we're back with everybody's favorite segment. It is Das Race News. And we're with our guest, Sable Young. And we want to talk about, it's been happening for the last couple of weeks, but we want to finally talk about the Soho Karen,
mm-hmm.
infamous Soho Karen. Her name is Mia Ponsetto. And as of right now, I think she's done this terrible thing. No, I think she's out now. I think she's actually out on bail.
Okay.
So for people who don't know this lady, you know, she like lost her cell phone and she follows this black teenager into this New York hotel and like berates him. And fortunately the son's dad is there and he's like filming it on camera and everything. And he's like, I don't got your damn phone, blah, blah, blah. And she has no reason to believe this teenager has her phone, but she's like berating this kid. And you know she eventually like tackles him and there's all this crazy shit. They track her down and everything, and of course she's from California, which is fantastic. And and it's just so on brand.
Such a West Coast move. And
right, exactly. Well, I definitely want to talk about this whole thing with that, just to kind of close it off. Now, so she's been arraigned, and I think now she's out on bail or whatever the fuck it is. She is like tailor made, I think, for social media. She is a train wreck, and you can't. She had this whole thing on CBS News where she was talking to Gayle King, and she shushes Gayle King on the interview.
Literally,
in
like
the interview,
like 3 seconds in. This is not even at the end. Like they just, it's the first question. She goes, Gayle, that's enough. Like she did this like a bunch of times, you know,
right. Exactly, you know, and it's to the point where like the lawyer has to kind of calm her down, which is just the best
thing. I love the lawyer's facial expressions throughout that entire interview.
Yes,
dude, God bless that attorney, bro.
That's right.
I hope she charges. She just keeps up charging
so much money.
Yeah, who would do that pro bono? By the way, that should be a hate crime. But she would. Yeah, this,
no.
I don't know, but I think so. Mia is this girl's name, and she was wearing a hat that said "Daddy" on it, and her lawyer apparently begged her not to wear it on this on this fucking interview.
Can you imagine going to law school? You know, just like I'm studying for law, 4 years undergrad, 3 years law degree, pass the bar.
Yeah, in California,
please, yes, which is a very difficult bar to pass. Please don't wear this daddy hat, okay? When do they cover that? Yeah. Which tort is that referred to, you know? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. What did you think about that initially, Sable?
It was watching a train wreck. But also, it's entertaining because it's so just, like, bizarre and flabbergasting. And, like, we're like, I can't believe this person exists. But also, it's just, like, this person exists in like many, many ways. Like this person's all over the place. They just have like not even the audacity. They're just like, I feel like in a way it's like our social media generation. Cause she's what, like 22. She's very young.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to say it like breeds this type of personality type, but it really kind of does.
Oh, she's like, fired. Damn.
Well, it's like this, like hardcore focus and so, like, encouragement and celebration of individualism and like especially like, you know, the kind of like brand of white feminism that's just like, I can speak up for myself and like I'm Like, I have to be empowered at all times. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't what empowerment means, girl. But, like, you took that real.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about... Yeah, go ahead, Vim.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned that, you know, white feminism. But she actually isn't...
I know.
100% white,
but
right?
But that doesn't mean you can't buy into white feminism.
That's oh, for sure. They're well, a great point. Yeah.
What's really interesting is, like, this is maybe looking into... Shouts to Gwyneth Paltrow. This is maybe looking a little bit too into it, but what's interesting is, like, her mix is... Puerto Rican and Vietnamese, and it's funny because I feel
Vietnamese.
Like those are the
like she said.
Well, but they're not. Dude, I swear to fucking God, the media either hates or just doesn't see the value in mentioning that anybody's Asian. I noticed it with this. I noticed it with the fucking Tiger Woods documentary. Like, yeah, she's part Vietnamese, and they don't like talk about it.
Here's the thing, actually, is that I was looking into it, and by looking into it, I just went to the next page on Google.
Yes.
And she is...
Page two? That's deep, bro.
Page two. That's deep, right? That was some deep shit. That shit got crazy. She says she's Puerto Rican. And then I did see a report where she says that she's Vietnamese, and I couldn't find anything else about it. And honestly, I was a little disappointed that she doesn't... that they don't mention it, that she's Vietnamese more, because I'm like, yo, Vietnamese people, this is a very Vietnamese move, you know? Like, this is, you know, for sure. You want to talk about racist? Hey, we got you. All right. We love white feminism. All right. That's what we're all about.
I think it's easier to villainize these, like, Karen types if they're more white.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Like, once again.
To, like, get, like, really, like, macro into her race is just, like, befuddling their point of, like, where they want to put her as the villain in this.
Right.
And that's kind of her main platform, is that she's like, I cannot be racist because I am Puerto Rican. How do we feel about that?
Wild.
How do we feel about that?
How do you feel? Yeah. What do you think, Sable?
I mean, first of all, obviously she's wrong. Like, literally everyone can be and kind of is a little bit racist, but, like, everyone has racial bias for sure. But the fact that she's like, I can't be racist because I'm Puerto Rican.
Right.
Also, like, okay, I might be splitting hairs, and I'm not the expert on this by any means, but, like, Puerto Rican isn't a race? Like,
Right.
And I don't even, is it considered Latino because it's not part of Latin America? Like, is that not quite right? I don't know.
I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, like, I'm not exactly sure.
There, but
I think you're right as far as, you know, the race of someone or the skin color of someone.
Like, she's saying, like, I'm not white, therefore only white people can be racist. It's like kind of saying, like, only white people can be racist, which is not true.
Right.
I mean, the
other layer to that is, like, for sure anyone can be a racist, but also, like, I think it's easier for someone who can pass as white to say stuff. You know what I mean?
Because,
like, okay, whatever, say whatever the fuck you want, but, like, when you walk down the street, like, you know, are people following you with a Dwayne Reed because they think you're stealing makeup? Absolutely not, right? So, like, I see this a lot with, like, people who, I don't know, problematic people, but, like, they are people of color when it's convenient for them.
Yes.
You know, when it makes, you know, and they just switch back and forth.
Yep.
When they're in front of a police officer, she's calling him an idiot because she's a white woman. But when she's getting interviewed by Gayle King about her racism, she is Puerto Rican all of a sudden.
Yeah.
She has been through struggle, right? So, like, it's kind of like, she kind of switches whenever she wants. And I think a lot of people don't fuck with that.
Yeah, I think it's really too. Obvious. It's interesting because I totally see what you're saying, Sable. As far as, like, the media wants to portray her as, like, a Karen, she's like this white lady, blah 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 blah. And, you know, when it kind of comes out that she's not white, you know, the I think the media is sort of like, oh man, maybe, you know, maybe we don't have a great story after all. But it's funny because people of color. That's us. We know. Oh, she still can be racist. That's all good. You know, you keep running that Karen story.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised there hasn't been any. Well, I'm sure there are Asian Karens out there. 100%.
I mean, there's been a few that's gone viral, I think.
Okay.
Wasn't there, like,
okay.
an old lady in a parking lot who would accost Asian joggers in, like, Torrance, California?
Oh, no, yes. There is that.
Like,
but I'm saying that they're. Oh, was she half Asian too?
Or she, no, she just wasn't white. She was, like, I think she was half Latina. But everyone was like, see, people who aren't white can also be racist.
Yes.
Meanwhile, and, like, she also is a white passing Latina, so.
Yes, that's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, I saw a video of, like, this is a while back, but I saw, like, some Asian, young Asian mom who, like, wouldn't let a black guy into her building, even though he lived there. Like, she just, you know, she wanted. I've seen stuff. And that's what I mean by pass as white, because I feel like Asian people, you know, we don't look white, but. societally, sometimes we do pass as white, one's ever gonna follow me.
It's the
Duane
model
Reed.
Minority stereotype.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And so, like, sometimes we, people who fail to recognize that, we buy into it. Yeah. We buy into the message. And then we, again, to your point, it's like we feel empowered to be like, you're not gonna ruin my neighborhood with this,
which is,
with this skin
which
color
is so
or whatever.
Fucky because, like, Asian Americans.
I love that word, by the way.
I love that word. Yeah.
Fucky.
Well, Asian Americans are the highest population of poverty in the U.S., right?
Yo.
But then, like, everyone's like, oh, but you're doctors and lawyers and you go to Ivy League schools and you're taking all of our white students, like, affirmative action spots.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is a little bit of the Asian struggle is that we have to. We're so dehumanized. We even have to remind people, hey, we can be racist. Okay.
Oh, God.
You forgot that we're
so
also
dark.
Racist.
Yeah.
Don't worry, baby.
Isn't it kind of messed up how, like, whenever in public you see, like, a conflict happening or, like, something's about to go down, everyone's first instinct is to fucking record it? And
hell
there's something
dude. That's
so dark and, like, Black Mirror about that to me. Because, like, what if someone, you know, gets seriously injured or, like, killed and then you just, like, fucking recorded a snuff video? And then you're like, let me put it on social media because the people need to see this. And I'm like,
As someone who is hungry for content, I'm down with this. Okay, put it on there so we can talk about this on the
There's
podcast.
There's no such thing as bad press, babies. Asian, I'll commit some racism and be like, Asian, not Asian. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. Swipe up, bitches.
Swipe up.
Like, I thought about it in the sense of like, okay, like, what if I was, I don't know, like, attacked on the street or, like, someone's tried to start shit on me or, like, called me a racial slur. Like, I don't want someone recording that on video and then, like, being, like, portrayed as, like, this, like, victim of racial violence. I'm like, yes, it happened, but also I'm like, I don't want to fucking be reminded of that or having to, like, gone viral because of that.
I would love it if that happened to me. I mean, I bet you, remember Nigel, he got, like, assaulted on the street.
Yeah.
Nigel Ang. Uncle Roger. He is probably the biggest damage wasn't that he got punched in the face. It was he forgot to take his phone out. That's what he forgot to record it. I 100% guarantee you he wish he had recorded it.
Dude, one of our comedian friends, Dylan Nadler, is a Japanese dude. He has this joke where he got called a racial slur and he tried to record it, but it was on selfie mode.
So
he was just recording himself.
That's so annoying. I would be so pissed. It'd be like having a great set in front of all these people and you didn't get it. You
didn't
know?
Get it, yeah. A great set. I love
right?
That's what we call a racist event. It's a great set. Yo, good shit out there, bro. Good shit, bro. Man.
Hey, good job getting punched in the face.
Yeah, is that new? The way you fell on the ground? Is that new?
That's just good.
And we're back with our newest segment. It is Mismanagement Consulting, segment where Mike and I solve our fans' problems using unofficial consulting methodologies because we are both corporate Asians. If you want
corporate
to
Asians.
Submit your problems to the show, and by the way, the problem can be anything. The problem can be like, hey, I got to fire somebody. How should I do it? Or it could be like, hey, I can't get hard. How should I get hard? It can be anything. Whatever. The limit is the sky, or whatever the American phrase is. The sky is the limit, as they say.
The limit
there
is the sky.
If you want to get it on us,
stop at the sky.
It's fucky. Please text or leave us a voicemail at 917-755-9596. That's 917-755-9596. We love voicemail, so please check it out. Today's question comes from, let's just call her Miss D, okay? This is our fan, Miss D. Here we go. Miss D says, hey, Fumi and Mike, I too have a dating problem. I'm mixed. I'm white, Jewish, and Chinese. And when I was growing up in China, Asian boys would see dating me as a status symbol. But when I moved here, white dudes definitely didn't see it like that. It was like fetishizing and shit. Then there's my mom shitting on me for dating dark-skinned guys. So in any case, it seems because I am multiracial and an Asian woman, everyone has an opinion on who I should date. What should I do?
Ooh,
that's a deep one, Ms. D. And we'll be charging you for this question. This is a hard one. But
this is a tough one.
But Sable, what are your initial thoughts on this? Can you relate to this?
I am not mixed race. I'm fully Asian. But people think,
oh, but you got that Chinese and Korean.
Yeah.
You know how it is?
Like,
it's complicated.
I don't know, is that race?
I don't think it's just Asian because they're both Asian countries, right? So it's like,
I don't know. See, I grew up in Asia, so I see different from different people from different countries, races. But yes, I see in America
in like
Chinese,
the American
so
lens,
it,
where
like,
I'm like, you know, just Asian. We're all lumped together.
Yeah.
And like, I have a couple friends who like also are specifically half Asian, half white, and they date people of all races, but like, they do experience that kind of like exoticism, basically, is what it is. And I mean, like, everyone's parents are going to give them shit for who they date, regardless of what your race is. I think Asian parents especially kind of do that. I don't know, because I'm I'm not another race, so I don't know what... I don't have that parent to, like, have that experience from, but, like...
Right.
In her case, it's just, like, you kind of just have to, like, fuck all y'all opinions. Date who you want to date. And if someone has, like, a shitty thing to say about the race of your partner, like, that's because they're shitty and racist. And I realized I just called her mom shitty and racist there, and I'm sorry, but like,
no, go for it. But that's actually our brand. Yep.
I mean, like, that's, I'm sorry, but like, if you have kids and they end up dating someone who you don't like, sorry, you can't control, you fucking made a human who makes their own choices. So you just can't control
right.
And like, I mean, I've dated a lot of white dudes, and I can it's extremely evident at this point to me when they have like a bit of an Asian fetish. Like, I can tell immediately. I can sniff that shit out.
What have they done?
What's funny is I know 100% I know it's a thing. I'm almost but just because like we've kind of moved the needle in some way a little bit with like representation and stuff like that. So I sometimes am even surprised it still happens. Not that much, but a little bit, just because I'm like, really? You know, you don't have you haven't seen, you know, hey, we're people now. I don't know if you heard the news.
Crazy Rich Asians. Since 2017, Asian people. If you had a store, Asians. Established 2017.
Asian. Established 2017. We're humans also. Yeah. That's crazy. How do you know? How do you know? I mean, when did they pull out the katana blade?
It's like, it's shit like that. It's like, if I meet someone and fairly early on, they kind of slip into conversation, like little tidbits of like Asian culture that they know about. And it doesn't even have to be like usually because I'm Korean and Chinese, it'll be tailored to Korean and Chinese culture. But like, just like slip in like the names of dishes, or like, I went to Korea once or something. Or like,
did they say in like a Chinese accent, like mapo tofu or whatever the fuck?
No. Well, sometimes yes. And it's so cringe.
Oh, shit.
It's really cringe with the accent. Even though I'm like, I know technically this is the correct way to say it, but it's so cringe coming out of your mouth. Like, please.
Yeah.
I remember one of our good friends, Young Mi Mayer, she owns a restaurant.
I
thought she was joking, because Mike, I agree with you. I was like, do people, even when you were talking about being asked where you're from, I'm just like, do people really do that in 2020? Mm-hmm. But she was telling me, she's like, I cannot tell you how many white guys walk in and they go, ni hao, when they come into a Chinese restaurant. That sounds made up to me, but she's like, no, I'm being dead serious. And I'm like, I guess I'm too optimistic. Say, the world is a dark place.
Cat callers will say that. Will tell me any Asian greeting on the street.
Yeah.
Like, it's
they just hit you with all of them, all five of them. Yes.
If they say it in Korean, I'm actually a little bit impressed. I'm like, oh, you know that one. Okay.
Yeah, that's a pretty deep one.
But still, like, I just had a thought that, like, pew. The most, like, mind-boggling thing that ever happened. I still think about it time to time to this day because it's so fucking bizarre. When I was, like, 24 and I was, like, at a friend's apartment party, and these were, like, older friends. Like, I was 24. They were, like, in their 30s, like, late 30s. And an older dude, I don't know how old he was, but way older than me, old white dude, was just basically like, oh, so kimchi or dim sum? Literally. And I was, my brain left my body.
Yeah.
I was like,
yo,
what?
Hot dog or Italian? Yeah, you know.
I love that.
I think my brain literally short circuited. I was like, I have no idea how to respond to this man.
How did you respond? What did you say?
Luckily, someone around me was also mortified and was like, you can't ask her that. It's like,
yeah,
but you know that guy, he thought he was like clever.
He thought he was being cultural, he really did.
And that's the dude, and that, I swear to God, like, that's the thing, is, you know, we saw it with the Mia, the way she talks about it, like, these white people committing these crazy things, they, in the bottom of their hearts, they think they're doing good, and that's the scary part, right? They pull out that katana and they're like, she's gonna love this, I have been studying so much.
This katana blade, I've been practicing with my sensei for so long.
And what's crazy is that, like, in the entire world, there are definitely Asian women who would love that. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Would be so delighted by that.
That is true.
Tila Tequila, for sure. She's up there.
For sure. Yeah.
We denounce her. She's not one of us.
I always have this conversation with my partner because she's not Asian, and I actually don't know how to feel about it, and maybe I'm taking the white man's side, which I always do, but forgive me here. Let me just go on a little tangent here. I was saying, like, if I broke up with her, I'm just like, oh, I don't know that she could date another Asian guy back to back, because people might assume
she might. You gotta have a spacer.
Yeah,
a spacer,
right? Is that a thing? And I'm like, I don't think she has an Asian thing. I can probably vouch for that, but
people will think she does.
People will think
she dates another Asian person. Someone I was dating when we were dating said that, like, many, many times, like, people would find out that I was Asian. He was white. And they'd be like, oh, so you like Asians, huh? And he's like, she's literally the first Asian woman I've dated.
Yeah.
And they would, and especially other non-white women would just be like, look, if this is a thing you have, we can't be friends, or like something like that.
Yeah.
He was like, whoa.
Whoa.
Like, it's really aggressive.
I mean, that's what I was sort of, you know, my comment from earlier about, like, I'm to the point where I'm like, okay, I'll give a guy, you know, like, I'll give you guys the benefit of the doubt. I think a lot of, you know, people used to get riled up with, like, the white, you know, if you see a white guy and an Asian girl. And now I'm like, hey, it's 2021, baby.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good.
I think there's a lot of white dudes and a lot of Asian women.
I think there are a lot. And I think it is still
it's numbers.
But here it sounds like it's still a thing, because people will be rolling up with the knee house.
Yeah.
Here's my advice for Miss D. And I'm going to use a little bit of close reading. That's a skill I learned, a useless skill I learned in college. And we're going to look at the words that are used, okay?
Okay.
When I was growing up in China, Asian boys, okay? And then when I moved here, white dudes, and then blah, blah, blah. And then my Asian mom shitting me for dating dark-skinned guys.
Ooh.
What's the connection?
They're all guys.
Men are trash. Don't date trash. Men.
Don't date
okay?
men. Don't date
just
men.
Just be an amoeba, all right? Just don't even include us.
See what she says. See what mom
just does. Just don't even engage in human interaction, especially with males, because we are just drones. You cannot trust us until after we nut. Okay, that's what we're all about. We're all just about nut and then leave.
That was our show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Sable, thanks for coming on. This was such a delight. This was so much fun. Where can our fans find you and your work?
I guess Instagram. I'm Sable Tooth Tigra on Instagram. And just Google my name. That's how you'll find me.
Hell
just
yeah.
Google me. And see what comes up.
Can find us on all the social media platforms at Asian.AsianPod. I'm also on there at TheFumiAbe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at Nice Pants, Bro.
Please come to our Hack City comedy show. It's a stand-up comedy show on Zoom happening every other Friday. The next one will be the 22nd, but I don't know when this is coming out. I think it's coming out next week. So the one after that is February 5th, and the one after that is February 19th. Tickets are free. Just go to asian.asianpod.com for tickets. And again, if you want more bonus content, please go to Patreon. Go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod for bonus content. A lot of people have been donating, and we love it. We love money. I don't know if that's a secret of ours. We love money. So please give us your hard-earned. You know, we know that you got a stimulus check, and we know that you're gonna get another one, because Biden's gonna give us like $1,400 or some shit like that. So give us some of that. So we're looking forward to that paycheck. Mike, anything else?
Nope. Once again, thank you very much, Sable, and we'll see you next time.
Anals. Bye.
Bye. Bye.